This is a podcast from Real Life Sango in Clarksville, Tennessee. Thank you for being a part of our growing online community. We hope that you'll soon be able to join us on a Sunday morning, but in the meantime, you can text prayer request by texting the word prayer to 931-378-6778. And you can make a financial investment by texting any amount to 84321 or going to reallifesango.com/give. Now, enjoy the podcast.
Today's going to be really special. I thought it's Mother's Day. Let's talk to some kids about their mom. So I'm going to invite those kids to come on up. All the kiddos that are going to join me, you guys grab your microphones and we'll just have a little chat about your moms. This is, hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, this is my little girl. No social distancing required right here. Right? All right. What's up, you guys? How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, you want to do mic check? Would you guys introduce yourselves and tell us how old you are?
Hello, my name is Lily, and I'm 11 years old.
Hi, my name is Abigail, and I'm 9 years old.
My name is Caden, and I'm 7 years old.
And what would you tell us your mom's name? You start.
Mary.
Mary. Mary Luther. Yes. I know your mom.
Laurie.
Laurie Gardner. Right? You know this. Your mom and I, our senior year, got the senior superlative of most talkative. Did you know that? Now you know that. Mom's been holding out on her. I see how it is.
My mom's name is Susan Wyatt.
Susan Wyatt. Beautiful last name. It has a nice ring to it, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Hey, I've got some questions for you guys about your moms. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
All right. First question is, what is your favorite thing about your mom?
There's a lot of favorite things that I have about my mom, but she always cares for us, and she takes the time to listen most of the time.
Yeah, all right. Fantastic. How about you guys?
That she can coach me softball.
Oh, that's really important, isn't it? I think so. I love that. Not everybody has a mom that knows softball. That's good. How about you? It's all right. What's your favorite thing about your mom?
Well, there's a lot of things.
Yeah?
She always supports me.
She what?
She always supports me.
She always supports you. I've seen it firsthand. She does. All right. Now, here's a fun question. What do you think? You answer this one first, Caden. What do you think your mom's favorite thing about you is?
Creative.
You're always creative, yes. All right. How about you, Abigail? What do you think your mom's favorite thing about you is?
Is that I'm nice to her.
That's great. That's great. Lily?
Other people.
Nice. Okay. What's one thing your mom always says?
Come back to me when I think of something.
All right. You're going to think about it. What's one thing your mom always says? What do you think?
She loves me.
That's awesome. Yes.
I'm going to say that too, that she loves me.
All right.
She says a lot of words, but like, I know what you mean by that, so, yeah.
Okay. Abigail, what's one thing your mom always says? Stumped you on that one, huh? All right. Let's play a game. You want to play a game? Let's do this. So you got to have a thumb here, all right? So if this is true about your mom, thumbs up, okay? All right, so just all the folks watching us at home there, give them a thumbs up. If it's not true about your mom, thumbs down, all right? And if you think it's just kind of so-so true about your mom, give me that.
Okay.
Can we do that?
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right, everybody's thumb working, okay? Okay, all right. My mom is a good cook. All right. Okay. My mom is smarter than my dad. Whoa, okay, all right. I like how this is going here. All right. I usually get my way with my mom. Okay, all right, okay. And my mom loves Jesus more than she loves me. Whoa, look at that. Whoa, okay, all right. This is impressive. We got some all-star moms on the docket today. All right, and my mom is very good with driving directions. Okay, all right, all right. My mom is a good singer. I mean, I like to hear her sing, but you know, okay, all right. Hey, thanks for being honest down there. You know, she can't do everything, right? Moms can't do everything. Okay. And I love my mom. Yeah. Yeah, you do. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much for helping me out today. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to watch a cool little video now of a lot of kids telling us why they love their mom.
I love my mom because just kidding. Okay.
I love my mom because she gives me lots of grace.
I love you because you're awesome.
I love you because you're pretty and you make the best food.
My mom because she gives me anything I ask for.
I love my mom because she's like my best friend and she's always there for me.
I love my mom because she's really beautiful and she helps me do my homework.
Mom, because we're always doing fun things together. And I also love my stepmom because she is our number one cheerleader.
I love my mom because she's sweet, loving, and she takes care of all of us, and she makes really good food.
I love my mom because she does a lot of things for me, and I appreciate it.
I love my mom because she cares about me, and she takes care of me.
I love mommy because
I love my mommy because she keeps me safe.
I love my mom because she's always there for me.
One reason why I like mommy is because she feeds me dinner.
One reason about mom is because she plays with me.
I love my mom because I'm really thankful for her and she did and everything else.
I love my mom because she takes care of me.
Because she prays for me with my relatives.
I love my mom because she's supporting, caring, and loving.
I love my mom. My best friend and I can always count on her to be there for me.
I love my mom because she always supports me and she's very funny but not as funny as my dad.
And I love mom because she sings better than my dad and always is kind to me.
She makes us everything what we want
gives us snuggles all the time and we love it.
I love my mom because she's involved in my sports and she's fun to hang out with.
I love my mom because she is loving and kind.
I love my mom because she cooks food for me.
I love my mom because she makes good macaroni and I love her.
I love my mom very much because she takes very good care of me and looks after me, feeds me, and loves me no matter what.
I love my mom because whenever I have a problem, she always knows how to solve those problems, and she's always so loving and nice.
I love my mommy because she is so nice. She's the best one in the universe, and she lets me sleep upstairs while she's working, and she, if I don't get enough sleep at nighttime.
I love my mom because she loves me no matter what.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Oh, that was a great video, wasn't it? So much fun. Hey, now would be a great time. Now would be a great time just to, on the comments, just say a big I love you to your mom and tag your mom if you're watching on Facebook, or just list your mom's name on YouTube. I'm here with three awesome moms, and I'm so excited to get to talk to them a little bit today. Why don't you ladies introduce yourselves and tell us the names of your children, and the ages, or, you know, just about. Yeah, right.
Well, I'm Susan Wyatt, and I have four kids. Jack is 13, Lily and Elliot are 11, and Parker is 7.
My name is Kayla Martin, and I have a baby boy growing in here, 31 weeks today, and his name is Enzo.
And I'm Kari Rassis, and my husband Mark and I have 5 children. Alan, the oldest, is 36, and Tyler, a little girl, no, not little anymore, she's 35. And then we've got a set of twin boys that just turned 33 last week. And we've got our baby, Mary Ryan, who's 27.
That was amazing, Kari. That was impressive. Hey, ladies, what is your favorite thing, in any order, what is your favorite thing or the most rewarding thing about being a mom?
I just love watching them grow and, like, seeing them accomplish things on their own. And we saw them from the beginning when they just laid there, and now they're just doing cool things, and seeing the Lord use their unique gifts in their particular ways is really fun to watch.
That's cool.
I think that just during this pregnancy, I think it's so cool to just be this, like, life-giving body. I think it's in my personality that I really like to be needed and wanted. So this has been awesome. I can't wait till he's born and, like, needs me really to sustain himself. So
I'm certainly in a different stage than the other two moms are. But my kids being older now, it is such an unbelievable joy to know that all of them are Christians. And as a Christian wife and mother, there isn't any greater joy than a mom to know that her children are following the truth. And there's a Bible verse that actually says that. And at this stage in my life, it is definitely true, because there's nothing they can accomplish now that will ever amount to having that relationship with Jesus. And Plus, as a mom, I know when my time's up on this earth, that we're all going to be in heaven together, and that's crazy, but crazy good.
Yeah.
And then the last thing is, at this time in their lives, they like me again, and we have a relationship, and it's wonderful.
So cool. Thank you. What would you guys say is the most challenging thing about being a mom right now?
Well, since I'm the only one with kids at home right now, I'll just say that the biggest challenge is it's just a demanding job. And I call it a job. It's a gift, but it is a job. And it's just that someone always needs something, wants to tell me something. I'm breaking up a fight. I'm comforting. They need to be fed. It's just demanding. That's the biggest challenge.
Awesome. You handle it with such grace.
Mine would be not being able to make their decisions for them. To see them making decisions, and I don't always maybe think that's the best choice for them to make, but they're grown adults now, and they have to live their life now. And so for me, it would be the decisions they make.
Can any mom who's watching this relate to what Kari just said? Anybody struggle with letting your kids, your adult children, make their own decisions? I bet you're the only mom, Kari.
Pregnancy and a pandemic, you know? I don't know, just a lot different, I guess, than what I saw, but I think that's just the cool part of it. I will never forget this pregnancy. I think some challenges are like wondering, you know, who's all going to be able to be in the room when Enzo's born. That might look a little bit different. But, you know, we're just taking it one day at a time.
Yeah, wow. There's no lady alive that you can call and say, hey, coach me through how to have a baby during a pandemic.
Right.
Yeah. Perhaps there is. Mallory Green gave birth to her first child this week.
Woo!
Amazing. Congratulations to the Greens. They texted me a little picture and had the opportunity to pray with them. So Mallory's got you by like a few weeks, you know, a few months, right? Okay. Can you guys share an example about where you just saw God provide for you uniquely as a mom? It may not be meaningful to anybody else, but it was meaningful to you. You saw God provide for you as a mom.
When I was pregnant with the twins, we moved to New York City. It turns out just a month before they were born. And because I was so far along in pregnancy and we just didn't have unending funds to fly up to New York back and forth to find an apartment to figure it all out, we made a lot of decisions sight unseen. So I picked a doctor, sight unseen. We picked an apartment. We had seen it through pictures, but as far as location and everything, we just didn't know where it was. And once I got the official address for our apartment and the official address for my doctor, I realized that they were in the exact same building. So to get to my doctor's office, I just went down the elevator and around the corner and into her office, which was a great gift. And then when we showed up in church for the first time, there was a lady there, Melissa, that was about my age, and she was pregnant, and our due dates were only like weeks apart, maybe. So to show up in a city where I knew like five or six people total, to have a fellow friend there that was going to have a baby my same kid's age, and go through that season of life in New York City together was a real gift. And
so
we
amazing.
Were able to do that really close until we all ended up moving.
Isn't God good? Yes. Isn't God good? Yes. You know, I love in the book of Titus how it says, you know, older women are to teach younger women, you know, how to live their lives for God's glory, how to love their husbands. It's these stories are these kind of these Ebenezer moments, you know, where you can speak into younger moms who might be going through a tough time and just say, no, let me tell you how God provided for me as a mom. Thank you. That's awesome. I remember.
I've seen God just put just amazing people in our lives during this pregnancy, just for multiple different reasons. Obviously, we shared our story about Enzo and some complications, and so I just think that the staff at Vanderbilt has just been incredible, and so we are just so fortunate for that. I also get to be literally just 2 weeks ahead of my best friend who is also pregnant, so that's really awesome. And then just like having a great community group where I am surrounded by godly couples who have, you know, been there, done that with pregnancy and motherhood, and just being able to lean on them through it all is just amazing. So just super thankful for the people God has put in my life.
He is providing all over the place for
you.
That's
right. Yeah.
It's so important to have doctors that you feel comfortable with, mm-hmm. you know, and that not just comfortable with, you know, they are with you all the way, the best in the world.
Right.
Praise God. Yeah. Corey?
I've got a small group Bible study of 3-4 friends, and we get together on a weekly basis, and we study the Word, and we pray for one another. But besides that, I'm thinking about being at your two stages, and it was about probably 28 years ago when I had 5 little kids at home, and I had a husband who had a very, very busy law practice here in town, still does. But I was kind of at my wit's end one day, and I just thought, this is crazy. These 5 kids are driving me crazy, kind of thing. And God helped me, and he did. And I said, make a difference in my life. And he said, I can if you will. Mm-hmm. And the will was, you need to get in my word, and you need to read it, and you need to soak it up, and I'll make that difference. And it was at that time I got into a Bible study called Bible Study Fellowship, and it was an incredible study, and I did that, and it absolutely changed my life. And he was with me every step of the way. So
amazing.
Yeah.
The nourishment of God's word sustained you at home with
absolutely.
5 kids.
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Did you take those kids to Bible study with you? I guess they had childcare. What did you do?
I had the first 4 I had within 4.5 years, so they were in school. But I took Mary Ryan. Once she was born, she went with me every week to Nashville to BSF. And so she kind of grew up as a BSF baby and then Explores, you know, baby. And yeah.
Okay, so our mantra here at Real Life Sango is?
Keep it real.
Keep it Jesus.
Right, so let's keep it real just for a moment. Okay. What do you gals, what do you ladies wish us dads and kids understood better about motherhood?
It just doesn't stop. Mm-hmm. So where some people go to a job every day, clock in, clock out, and they come home and it's just whatever you do at home for fun. A mom wakes up and it doesn't stop until they go to bed, but then you've got to do everything you didn't get done while they were awake. So, so it doesn't stop. That's one thing. And sometimes it's just flat out exhausting. And the other thing that came to my mind was, sometimes it sounds silly to say you have mom guilt, but it's a very real thing, even if it's a secretive thing that you don't really express all the time. But there's always in the back of your mind, am I doing enough? Have I done enough? What could I do better? How could I be a better mom? I yelled at my kid today. Now I feel bad because they're going to bed with the memory of me yelling at them or whatever it is that you just carry with you sometimes, that maybe sometimes a husband or a dad might be like, I don't get what the big deal is, like, whatever. But
yeah. So there's a dad right now sitting on the couch, a husband sitting on the couch, and he just looked over and he said, mom guilt. Mom, do you have mom guilt? What is mom guilt? So it's legit.
I don't know of a woman who would say she's not experienced that.
Yeah.
So how can husbands, how can I help with mom guilt?
I think just a general understanding that the majority of moms are doing absolutely the best that they know how to do. And we mess up plenty of times, but it's not usually intentional, or we don't set out to mess up. So just that ongoing encouragement of, you're doing a good job, I see what you do, thank you, it goes a long way.
Kari, let's talk to the single mom. This isn't in the notes. Let's talk to the single mom who has some mom guilt, so there's no husband to alleviate. How does the gospel speak to mom guilt? What does the gospel say to mom guilt?
Number one, I don't think God ever wants us to have mom guilt. I mean, he would never, ever want us to feel guilty over not doing enough. I mean, he says you are enough just the way you are. Your identity in Christ is everything. So he would never want you to feel guilty. But for that single mom out there that's raising children on her own, my heart goes out to her, because that's just huge. I mean, I had a husband. I had some help. I got babysitters, but, you know, a lot of them, they can't afford it, they can't do it. I would say pour your heart into the gospel. Let God speak to you through it. He will, if you ask, if you just say, God, open my mind, please help me here. I promise you, he will do it.
Yeah.
His word speaks.
I love it.
It's loud and clear.
I love it. You know, it's the Lord Jesus doesn't look to any mom and say, you're a perfect mom.
Right.
He didn't look to any dad and say, you're a perfect dad. He looks to all of us broken moms and dads and says, I'm a perfect savior.
Yeah.
I'll meet you right where you are. I'll lift your gaze with my love. I'll put your feet on a firm place to stand. I'll give you the new identity in Christ. That you don't get your identity by being an awesome mom. You get your identity by receiving the gift of being a child of God. And out of the overflow of that is motherhood. Yeah?
Yes, absolutely. I want to add here, sometimes I think moms feel less important because they're the ones that aren't bringing home the paycheck. Dad's bringing home the paycheck. They're doing the things for the kids. And I think sometimes, you know, dads, it's not that they want us to feel like we're not doing enough, But sometimes we may feel like that's what they're thinking. And sometimes we feel like our kids think that too, because we don't get a lot of accolades. It's hard. But a mom makes a house a home. And dads certainly have what they do, and thankfully they do bring home the paycheck. But moms are the ones that nurse those kids and love those kids and bring them here and there and everywhere. And sometimes I think we feel like we're not doing enough and we're not enough because we're not bringing home that paycheck. But you know what? We're raising God's children. We're raising his children. What more important job is there than that?
I love it. I love it. So there's probably some moms watching right now that are like, hey, wait a second, Kari. I am bringing home the bacon.
Well, you're right.
So if that's you,
right.
Mom, yeah. Would you just leave like a flex muscle in the comments?
Yeah.
Real quick. Like if you're bringing home the bacon, flex that real quick, you know. Put your arm around your husband and comfort him a little bit right now and give us a flex in the comments.
I'm sorry, working mom.
I love it. No, it's great. But what a life-giving message you just shared for moms that are in the home. They may be working a part-time job or maybe working a full-time job, juggling it all.
Right.
But the lack of accolades going toward the irreplaceable vocation of nurturing children. Man, thank you. Good word. Well, you guys follow up. What do you wish dads, and maybe you just spoke to it, what do you wish us dads and kids understood better about motherhood?
You know, I feel like I'm just absorbing so much from you two here, and I'm learning so much. I feel like right now all I have to contribute to this is the emotional roller coaster of pregnancy that is so not understood. I know Alex has been such a trooper, but I swear these emotions are real and uncontrollable. And I think sometimes I just want to know that my emotions are valid through the first, second, and third trimester. And it's just all different. But yeah, that's been... been hard.
I'll never forget. I guess you were pregnant with Jack, and one of my buddies asked, hey, how's Susan doing? I was in seminary. We lived in Louisville, Kentucky, and I said, man, she's exhausted, like all the time. And he just quicked back real quick and said, she's making brains in there, you know. And I thought, well, yeah, that'll exhaust you, I guess. Like you're making a baby brain right there in your body. So, all right, the emotional roller coaster. Thank you, Kayla. Kari, anything else to add to what do you wish? What do you wish dads and children understood better about motherhood? I mean, you shared some good.
I want to say hormones. I mean, women's hormones are up and down all the time. Y'all just need to get used to it.
All right, so
get over it.
So, ladies watching right now, would you leave a comment either on YouTube or Facebook? What do you wish that us dads and kids understood better about motherhood? Would you leave a comment right now, loud and proud, all caps? You know, go for it. Hit those hearts on all your other ladies' comments. Help us understand today. Let us enter into your reality so that we can be an encouragement to you in the Lord. This is for Kari and Susan. Knowing that all seasons of motherhood have different joys and sorrows, which season did you enjoy the most and why? Or have you? You're not done being a mother, but what season have you enjoyed the most and why?
Okay. there have been wonderful things about every single season. I have loved them all. I have liked some more than others, and I'm going to go back a lot of years. But for me, there was nothing like that birth to age 5. I loved it. I mean, I was the happiest person in the world, and it's probably the big reason I kept having kids, because it was so great. I just thought, oh, this is wonderful. What's the next one going to be like? But birth to age 5 for me was incredible, because you felt needed. You were needed. Kids are so funny. That watching them grow and the things they say, they were just so funny. And I just love that time. Mm. I just love that time. But having said that, now is incredible. All you young moms out there that are about to pull your hair out, I'm telling you, when they become adults, and that mother role, you're always going to be a mother, but all of a sudden, the roles change a little bit, and you become a friend. And my 5 kids are my friends now. I mean, I talk to 3 of them every single day. For even if it's for a minute, and texting all day long, and the other 2 I talk to almost as much. But now is just a great time with my adult kids. They like me again. So, you know, that's nice.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Susan?
I would say I'm like Kari. There have been bits and pieces of every season that I've really enjoyed. The truth of it is, I don't have a good memory of like birth to 5, just because I feel like I was just trying to make it. Yeah. And because our 3 of ours are pretty close, so we kind of journeyed through that, and we got out of that stage and found out Parker was coming, and we went right back into it. So I would actually say, like, right now is probably been one of my favorites, just because, or like maybe the last 3 years or so, that time span, because we're not working around nap schedules. We're not, like, I don't have to pack their food. They can eat whatever we eat, whatever served. I can say, you're gonna eat it. The conversations that we have are just fun and funny. And I don't know, I'm just enjoying the, the maturing of them, I think. Yeah. It's been
good. That's great. That's great. Both of you ladies have twins.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Didn't run in my family. Did it run in yours?
And it wasn't our first kids that were twins. So, Kayla?
Yeah.
Sounds fun. Rub some elbows with you. That'd be cool.
Well, hey, we're wrapping up here, but this might be the best part yet, because I want these ladies to speak to one another, and in speaking to one another, to speak to moms that are in their phases. So I'm going to ask Kari to give a challenge to Susan and an encouragement from God's Word to Susan and to moms that are in Susan's stage of life, and I'm going to ask Susan to give encouragement to Kayla, and then I'm going to ask Kayla to give encouragement to all the ladies that one day want to be married, or that are married and that one day want to be a mom, and so, Kari, why don't you kick us off?
Okay. Susan has just said that one of her favorite stages is right now, and I was thinking Susan was going to say she's pulling her hair out right now. So, but whatever comes next, Susan, I just want to, and for all the moms out there, if you are in this stage where you're pulling your hair out, just remember, God's word tells you your labor is not in vain. To stand firm, let nothing move you. And that's just not out there evangelizing and preaching the gospel, but that's growing God's children. Don't let the labor push you down. God is there for you, and eventually you're going to reap a harvest, and you're going to see it when your kids are grown, and they have respect for you two and the world around them, and they love God, and so your labor is not in vain. And the second thing would be, you know, God's there for you. If it gets bad, you know, you may be weak, but he is strong, and he can take. You can't. Maybe you're not able anymore, but he's able. And he'll see you through the toughest of times.
Yeah.
I had to make notes for mine, but so for Kayla and anybody entering that newborn to preschool age of children, so the Bible says that children are a gift from the Lord, and they are, but the reality is it doesn't always feel like a gift, and being a mother is one of the greatest challenges that I've ever had. But it is truly the most rewarding. So you're about to be a mom to a newborn, and then the toddler years and the preschool years will follow. And I've just come out of that season with my youngest now being in first grade. We're past all that. But those years are really sweet, but they are hard and exhausting. And there's so much of it that, like I said earlier, that I can't remember because I felt like I lived it just trying to survive. Mm-hmm. It felt more like surviving. So my challenge to you and to other moms that are entering or in the middle of your season would be to lean on the Lord and on your community in these years. You don't have to go at it alone. You're not supposed to go at it alone. So there'll be lots of times where you're feeding your child. Pray over them while you're feeding them. There'll be lots of times where you're rocking a child to sleep. They may be screaming their head off or just wonderfully being peaceful in your arms. Sing songs over them. The time will fly by fast. It won't last forever, but it doesn't have to be wasted just trying to survive. It can be such a rewarding time. And then Isaiah 40:31 says, "But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." So this is where you'll find your supernatural strength when yours is depleted.
Awesome.
Love that. It's so good. I guess just for those women who are struggling, sorry, Lou, start over. Whether you're about to be a mother, whether motherhood is in your near future, or whether you're one who might be struggling with infertility, I think it's so important to know that God has you right where he needs you right now. And whether you're having a perfectly healthy pregnancy and about to have a perfectly healthy baby, or whether you're miserable every single day of pregnancy and are concerned about the health of your baby, God has you and this baby in his hands. And so when you feel scared or not quite understanding the whys of what you're enduring, I challenge you with these two pieces of scripture. And the first one is Proverbs 3:5, and it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Seek God's will in all that you do, and he will make your path straight." And I just don't see anything more humbling than literally giving up your own comprehension and just giving that to God.
Wow.
Then the second piece of scripture is from Matthew 19:26, and it says, Jesus looked at them intently and said, "Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God, everything is possible." And I think I challenge you not just to tell yourself, like, okay, yes, I know this, and yes, I believe that, but when you're walking in those valleys, actually live that out every single day, because it's when you're at peace with that, you're a walking testimony. And you're going to see God not just work miraculously in your life, but you're going to see it in the lives of others. And so I think just remembering the bigger picture and our purpose here on earth is just like so good and just needs to be on the forefront of everything.
So good.
I'm reminded of that scripture that says, "My strength is made perfect in your weakness."
So good. And say that again, Corey.
My strength is made perfect in weakness,
yeah.
in our weaknesses. When we're weak, he is strong.
So good. How do you become a strong mom today? Raising your hand and saying, "I'm weak."
Amen.
That's life-giving, isn't it?
Right.
Hey, would you guys just give it up for these ladies in the comments? They did such a great job. Join me in prayer. Would you bow your hearts in prayer with me? Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I'm so humbled by your strength on display through these moms. Lord, the stories of your provision, the stories of their endurance, the testimonies of your faithfulness, and Lord, these challenges from the scriptures. Thank you, God, for this moment. Thank you, God, for these women speaking. Thank you, God, for these women that are singing and playing behind me. And thank you, God, for all the moms that are watching today, that are worshiping today. Father, I pray for that young lady who so longs to be married. I pray that she might find that your grace is sufficient, that your strength is made perfect in her weakness. Lord, I pray for that couple that so longs to have a child and yet they are not yet able. God, I pray that you might sustain them, that they might experience your presence to uphold them. Lord, I pray for that mom that, like Kari's, pulling her hair out. God, I pray that she might lean in and depend upon you and open your word and find nourishment and supernatural strength like she's never known. And God, I pray that that mom that's an empty nester now, Lord, would find that you are her God, not her children, that you alone can satisfy, not her kids. That, Lord, she wouldn't just be looking on to grandchildren, but she'd be looking to you and finding that you are the bread of life, that you are the fountain of living waters. Father, today we thank you for moms, but we don't worship them. God, today we thank you for moms, and we celebrate and we honor them. But we give you thanks for the good gifts that you give our lives. Lord, I know that there are some that are worshiping today, that their hearts are just broken. because they didn't have good relationships with their moms. Maybe they didn't know their mom. Maybe their mom just died last week. And I pray, oh God, the scripture that says that you are near to the brokenhearted and that you save those that are crushed in spirit. Thank you, God, for being such a compassionate Father. Would you meet all of us today where we are? And might we find rest in Jesus. Lord, what a joy it is to know you. We now sing to worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We trust that God is stirring something fresh in your heart today. We hope to see you on a Sunday very soon. Keep it real. Keep it Jesus.